Hey, Cynthia.
Hi, Joanna. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to see you.
Thank you. You too. I'm going to just run and get my water. I'll be
Yep,
right back.
we'll start in a minute. No worries.
Thanks.
Hey, Stacy.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Thanks. Good to see you too.
So excited we're finally going to meet in person.
I know, it's fantastic. Incredible.
Hey, Cindy. Hey, Tracy. I don't, looks like you're not connected to audio just yet. Oh, there you are, Tracy. Hi. Hey, Christina. I'll give us all another minute. Who's ZZ? Don't know who ZZ is. If you can just take your camera off or unmute. Who is that? Oh, that's Carlita. Hey, Carlita. I was like, is some did somehow someone get in here and is Zoom bombing us? I'm glad it's you. All right, let's get started. So good to see everyone, those of us that are able to be here today. This is our integration session for the Choose Your Own Shadow Journey technique. That it feels like forever ago that we learned it, but it actually wasn't that long ago. It's just that time is going by really, really fast, I think. So we're gonna hopefully get deeper into the crags in a little bit on that, hear what your experience has been. These integration sessions are led so much by those of you that are here. These integration sessions are often more intimate, which I love because we can really kind of go deep with what you want, workshop things, et cetera. Before we get into that, a couple of housekeeping pieces. First is, hopefully you all received an email, but you all have a bonus spot in the February 10th sales conversation training that I'm leading. It's called Authentic and Effective Sales Conversations. It's a kind of full day virtual retreat. For those of you that have had access to the recorded version of it, a couple things on that. So first of all, a lot of the material is the same, but there's also new pieces from what you've, it's a longer, so from what you've received before. If you have listened to the recording before and you know like you don't need any more sales support, great. You don't have to come, the recordings will be there for you. But, what I will say is, as we all know, learning is cyclical, and it's good to circle back to things and go deeper, even with concepts that we already know, to get to the nuances, to get to the deeper pieces, and to embody the energetics more. So, if that's you and you're able to come live on the 10th, I would love, love, love to have you. I think it's going to be a really powerful and valuable day. Second piece, we're going to meet in person. Yay. It's still, I know it's still a little bit off, but it's really not that far off. I cannot wait for us to be in person. Actually, I've been preparing this weekend. Starting tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm leading a different in-person retreat all about ritual and group facilitation. And, you know, I've just like been feeling the excitement getting ready to be in person with people. And of course, that excitement has spilled over into thinking about all of you as well and how we're going to get to be together. Remember to book if you're going to stay at the hotel. Remember to book your spot. I saw that Tracy posted in the Facebook group that you're looking for a roommate. Whoever is looking for roommates, please connect. You can connect in the Facebook group or off the Facebook group. People often share rooms. And I just can't wait to see you all. Third and last housekeeping piece. Hopefully I'll also see, I think some of you have registered for Art of Client Transformation, which is happening March 2nd through 4th. You are all invited as my guest. Even if you've done it before, it's again, cyclical learning, embodiment. A lot of the curriculum will be the same. Some of the curriculum will be different. But I'm so happy if you feel like it's right for you to be there. And just as a reminder, you can invite as many of your friends for free to come as well. And so many of you have, and I appreciate it so much. Thank you for sharing about the work. All right, any questions on any of the housekeeping pieces, the three that I mentioned or anything else? Yeah, Cynthia.
On the 10th, I'm leading an event in the morning, and it's a first for me. It's a mini retreat. I'm so excited. I've got 14 women coming, but thank you. I may just have to just rest in the afternoon, but my question is if I'm wanting to, it'd be okay to come halfway.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. You can hop in whenever it makes sense for you. And if you can't, the recording will be there for you okay. as Thank well. You. Yeah, I'm so excited. You're going to lead your first event. Yay, yay, yay. All right. Any other questions on any housekeeping pieces? No? Okay, great. So I wanted to share with you a story, a very recent story, one of the many traumatic stories of my last couple of weeks. It's been quite a month. I don't know how if it has been for you. For me, it has been a month. But it relates to the work that we were doing in our last retreat and kind of all of the work that we're doing here. And I thought it would be helpful from a practitioner point of view and a personal point of view for you to share. So over the last month, because of a newish, I shouldn't say because of, we have a newish team member on the team, somebody who none of you have interacted with. She does back end tech pieces. And starting sometime in December, there were problems. The emails would go out with wrong Zoom links, with wrong times. Things weren't loaded in the member center the way they should be. And I am, I'm really committed to leading my business from a heart-centered place, like not just from like a capitalist, you know, produce, produce, you can't make mistakes, that kind of thing. And I give a lot of grace for mistakes because God knows I make many, many, many mistakes. But that being said, you know, there's just so many mistakes that can happen and kind of taking a look and how can we do this different and double and triple check things, et cetera. And so this already started to happen in December and the mistakes kept on happening. They were really hard every time. But I noticed that I didn't take further action on it. I really wanted, I knew in my heart that it was probably time to let this person go. But because my business manager had brought her on and I was scared my business manager, whatever was going on, we didn't let her go. And I didn't really push it. And then January, we came into January and the mistakes snowballed. They were just happening and happening and happening. Until finally I just said, we have to let her go, but it was already like a crash and burn situation where I had to do a lot of work to be fixing the situation. Looking back at it now, I can see that my inner wisdom knew right away that it wasn't the right fit. And yet I didn't do anything until it got to a point where it was like not okay. And over the last week, last week when I finally realized it, and I was just like so angry. And I knew that I had to have the conversation with my online business manager to let go of this person. I could feel myself in fight, you know, with like all of the frustration and all of the anger and all of the things. And I was kind of like a little bit in that cycle that we were talking about in our last retreat, this like cycle of stress. And I knew it wasn't going to be okay for me to have the conversation until I saw the cycle through and took myself out of survival mode, out of fight or flight, to be in a more grounded place to have this conversation. And so I used the technique that we looked at in our last retreat, and I connected in with the impulse, which was like to tell off everybody. So I knew like I had fault in it too, but the impulse was like, I need to like just express my anger. And I allowed myself to feel the stomping and the anger and like the saying of all the things that needed to be said, which of course I would never do in real life. It was just an impulse inside of me. And that allowed me to complete that cycle of being in my survival, of being in fight, so that I could be resourced in the moment with my heart open and fully intact to myself and to everybody to be able to have that really hard conversation. So that was the first thing I did. Then over this last week, as I was reflecting on it more, I was like, why didn't I do what I knew needed to be done already in December? What was going on there for me? And through journaling and exploring, I saw that I was scared mostly of upsetting my online business manager. I was scared of rocking the boat. She had brought this person on. She clearly didn't think that this person needed to be let go of. And I was scared that if I told her, it would rock the boat so much that she would leave and then my whole business would fall apart, right? Now, that of course was not a thought coming from the present resourced moment. That was a then and there fear of everything is going to fall apart if I rock the boat or say what I need to be said, and then people won't like me and think I'm too pushy, and then my whole life is going to fall apart, right? As I looked even more deeply, there were even Holocaust pieces in that, right? Don't rock the boat, just be quiet, keep things status quo, and that way things aren't going to fall apart. So of course, as I saw that, I did some befriend your fears with myself on that and like really held space over the course of the week with this fear that everything is going to fall apart if I rock the boat, if I speak my truth, if I set boundaries. And I finally, like through that work, I got to this place of, even if hopefully this won't happen, but I got to this place of deep truth inside of me. Even if my whole team leaves because I am standing up for something that I feel is important, it is okay. I am okay. I will find another team, an aligned team, right? I think my team is aligned. I don't think that's going to happen, right? But now that I'm at this place, because I've worked with this fear, I've resourced from the present moment, I can now have even more honest conversations with my team members on some places where I know that we need to tighten up, without this fear of everything is going to fall apart and I'm not going to survive if I do. And I'll be able to have those conversations from an open-hearted place. So let me pause there. What are you seeing or learning from the full process that I just described that feels important to you personally or from a practitioner? I'll say mostly from a practitioner point of view, what are you noticing about some of what I just shared from you, with you? What's feeling important? What are you seeing? Yes, Cindy.
The story we tell ourselves before we go to do something, that how we go to the outcome, what we think the outcome would be, rather than going back, coming back from our centered, grounded place and asking our highest. Oh, I have your back, sister. I do. I've done it many times. And just,
yeah. Yeah. Oh. So the importance of calling ourselves and supporting our clients to create awareness for themselves on the narrative, right? On the story that we're just taking for granted. Of course, this is going to happen if I speak my truth. If I say, you know, I think this person needs to be, right? But that's a story. That's not necessarily the truth, right? So the creating awareness of that. Mm-hmm. Good. Cynthia.
I'm really present to the multi-layered approach that you took. You know, I can't remember the exact order of the processes that you went through, but you stuck with yourself.
Yes.
And you know, like, I think it's just that it's not a linear thing. I mean, we know that, but it's not like, oh, I've got this tool, I'll do this. But
yes,
much as we'd like it to be a quick fix, it's often so much deeper. And I just honor you for sharing that with us and, you know, letting us see your humanity. And I so relate.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And a big yes to all your sharing from that practitioner point of view. It's one of the reasons why I'm sharing this story and this process, because it's a process. It's not a once and done. And I used multiple tools over the course of time to get at the layers, like you said, and to get at the layers. And it's not linear, like you said, it's cyclical. And I wanna, like, this is a point I really wanna drive home for all of us, for ourselves, for the work that we do with clients. It's that it's not a once and done, that we want to use the different tools in our toolbox to continue to go deeper, to continue to embody the change and integrate and find the layers inside of it. And I love what you said, Cynthia, about sticking with yourself, right? We want to support our clients to stick with themselves, to not try once and then it didn't work, and right, and then like hate on themselves or it's not worth the time. And to do that, we need to embody the energetics of, we're sticking with you too, client. Thank you. Anything else? Yeah, Stacey.
I love the story you tell, and it just reinforces for me that I need to be telling more stories as not only a practitioner, but as someone who's promoting what I do. I mean, it's so important to be able to be transparent and tell people listening where you struggle and be super honest about it. And it's so human. And it makes it, it normalizes it for clients to come to us and ask for that type of support because they see us modeling it within ourselves.
Yeah. Yes. To all that. Another, like, such an important piece here, the power of, first of all, of normalizing, of showing the imperfections, of showing the humanity, because that just by starting to do, the first thing that does is it takes out shame, right? For our clients that, you know, have similar struggles or are in the process and, right, all of those pieces. And then this other thing that you're speaking to is the power of storytelling, just in general, right? The power of storytelling and how it kind of creates a focus. It draws people in. It helps kind of bring intention and presence. And I'll share that I've been sharing more and more stories in my marketing. You're talking about when you're talking about your work. And so lately I have really been intentionally, like, in preview calls, in emails, sharing personal stories. And I really see, just from a sales point of view, such a difference in engagement. When I start off with a story and then people are drawn in because they relate, because it helps normalize things, because they like me even more off the bat, because here I am as a human being in front of them. So yes to all of that.
And you're so good at it. I love reading your emails and how you manage to tell the story and so beautifully and masterfully tie in the message for the reader.
That's the important piece right there, right? That's just what I want us all to think about, is like, we're not ever telling the story just to tell the story, but we're telling the story to share the message. And it doesn't have to be like a neat, tied up message, you know, or one dimension, right? I'm still going to have to work on my things not falling apart thing as I move forward. I still have cleanup to do from this situation. So it doesn't have to be like a neat, but we want that thread of the message in there. Good. All right, so let's use this as inspiration. We're a small group, so please don't be shy. I'd love to hear if you've been practicing the Choose Your Own Journey visualization, and if so, how that's been going. I'd love to hear if you've been noticing your impulses, and if so, how that's been going, or anything else related. What have you been seeing, practicing, noticing since our retreat?
Could I talk about the bridge technique? Because it's one that I keep using, but something that came about is I did it a second time with a client, and she wanted to take a piece from the first bridge process, like number three step, and start from there and go deeper. And I don't know if you have done that, but that just created even more depth for my client. And it was neat too, because it was her choice. And so I just thought I'd share that, because it was just super powerful.
I love it. So a couple things in there. First of all, it's such a great example of, again, this coming back to the work and going deeper and embodying. I love that you didn't work on a completely different belief. I mean, and that's fine. That's great and fine too. But I love that with this client, you already did, because the belief bridge is like big work. It takes time, you know, but you went back to go deeper and embody it more. And absolutely you can do that. And you can start at whatever place the client, they're like, you know what, I got step one. I feel that truth is embodied inside of me now. I got step two. That is feeling more alive in my life. So let's start here. Mm-hmm. And at three or whatever it is. And then what I would say is, and maybe you did this, is like, then it's the next steps from there? Or are there even babier steps between 3 and 4 that the client needs? So it's not necessarily pushing out beyond 4. That might be right for that client, but it might be, okay, this is where we really need to drill into the embodiment and really connect the dots even more till we get to 4.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea to even baby steps in between, because she's off work right now and working through, okay, what's my next step after I have this rest period?
Yeah.
And there's no rush, right? But when we're healthy, we're like, oh, great technique. Okay, what's the next one? Versus let me really embody and feel these steps. And it's just been so powerful with the people that I've done it with, that actual stepping onto the piece of paper to the next.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you're practicing it.
Thanks.
Yeah. And we can relate this, what Cindy's sharing, to the choose your own shadow journey. We can take clients back to one of the moments in the image that you worked on with them already, right? We don't have to find new images and new images and new images. We can help them come back to a certain moment, embody more deeply, integrate more deeply, and then move and see what wants to happen from there. Good. Who else? What have you been practicing, seeing, noticing? How has it been going? Or what have you been noticing in general for yourself or clients around impulses and owning impulses?
I'll share.
Great.
Hey, everyone. Nice to see you. I don't know why it feels like it's been so long, but it hasn't. But it's so nice to see your faces and your voices and feel your energy. It's interesting. I was working with a client. We were looking at her impulses, and the way that they show up is sometimes with food, you know? Like when she's not feeling a certain way, it's like, I have this impulse. I want to make myself feel better. So I'll do it through food. And then sometimes the impulse of she suppressed her emotions so much, right? So that her energy became this implosion that it could be like a Kleenex dropping and that impulse to lash out. So what we have been doing is self-awareness is an amazing thing, right? Can we stop and pause and breathe and just allow ourselves to have just a little bit of room to become self-aware? And that I feel like is helping her so much that she's not in reactionary mode so much, where she just has this instinct, like I've got this impulse, like to lash out. She's allowing herself the space to be curious, because the curiosity emits this love versus the belief or the energy of self-loathing or self-judgment, like judging herself harshly for all of these things. And so the self-awareness has been something that we have gone on this journey with around the beliefs. And one analogy that I shared with her, and it's amazing how things are channeled through you and you're like, where did that come from, right? Because I feel like there've been so many times when I've been in this space and I've been listening and feeling to everything that you're pouring out, and I'm writing the notes, and I'm like, oh my goodness, how am I going to remember all these things? But it's the feeling that is like the feeling of the groundedness of the words you share, Joanna, that then go into my notes, and then I take them into myself deeply, because I feel like it's about me holding space for this first before I'm holding space for others, you know, so that I really understand with compassion and empathy and kindness what someone could be feeling through these impulses. So one of the analogies I shared with her is that as we go deeper, that we grow. I said, imagine when I was, as an adult, relearning how to swim, I wasn't learning how to swim in the shallow end, right? It wasn't until I went into the depths of the deep water where it felt super scary and all these beliefs and stories came up, like, oh my gosh, I won't be able to touch the bottom. And then, you know, but that is where I get to grow. So I share that with my client because there was some fear, I believe, in her going deeper, because what would she actually reveal? Mm. Right. I believe what we don't reveal, we don't heal. So I wanted to just share that with you because it can feel scary for a lot of folks to reveal the things that they've been denying and hiding and ignoring and using things that have helped to sort of suppress what's there. And just the journey around the beliefs and the journey of the work of choosing our own shadow has been really profound in my life. And to be able to witness this now and share it with this beautiful client, and it's been profound in hers, is the gift that keeps giving. So thank you.
I just got chills. Thank you for that share. And there were so many pieces in it that feel so important. I want to pull some of them out, but first I just want to honor you for the amazing work that you have been doing. It sounds, just sounds like so beautiful, just such beautiful, masterful work. So a couple pieces I want to pull on that I think are important for all of us. First of all, what Tracy just described in terms of her not remembering the words or all the notes, but like taking in the feeling and then bringing that feeling to her clients, that is the epitome of an aligned energetics, right? We don't need to go into any session knowing all of the words or any of the words. The right words come when our energetics are aligned. Period. End of story. This is why, like, oftentimes people are so surprised when I say I don't prep for private sessions, like really at all, other than reading my clients' prep, if they fill out prep forms, and just like, you know, taking it in and just feeling through it. But I don't prepare anything. What I do prepare, and that what I'm consistently working on, is my energetics. How am I showing up? And then it all unfolds from there. Right. So it's just such an important reminder to keep on coming back to that. And then this other piece I want to pull on around how powerful creating awareness is in a loving space for any of the beliefs or impulses that come up, normalizing it. And then just allowing space to be with it, right? Which is essentially what we also do in the Befriend Your Fear technique, but in a different way. But this idea of creating awareness plus creating space, what does that do? It helps a client, again, I know I say this a lot, move from the there and then into the here and now, see the situation from a higher perspective, not from inside of it, right? But from a higher perspective, where the fear isn't all of them or the impulse isn't all of them. It is a part of them to be curious about, to be more understood. Good.
I'll share.
Yeah.
So the work for me is a lot like that. It hasn't been about what I thought, which would be to go back and review my notes over and over. And I really vibe with what Tracy said about feeling the the depth and the acceptance of it, right? So I have been seeing a lot of shifts in myself. And, you know, for me, the storytelling piece is what I'm really aware of lately. as I'm opening up and being more visible in my marketing, I have been telling more stories. And so it had a great effect with one particular client I've been working with for years. And her cycle, her pace is very much in the winter mode, like an extended winter mode. And the being in the space of the space that we've been talking about with this work, let me be more specific, is in allowing her pace and her rhythm to feel into her impulses in the way she feels into them, because she's had this long history of beating herself up, and she's uber successful. And yet at home, she's just self-loathing, and she's not exactly aware of the cost of that. And so in this month, and I'm just connecting this now that I did this, I told a story about how I'd been having this chronic back pain. I shared with her, because we have this trust, right? And I don't share this with a lot of people, but I was physically abused as a child, and the low back pain came to me in a dream. And I worked the process with sitting with the dream, and I was able to connect with the pain in my low back was from the spanking. Like, and even though I had healed things with my dad and we've moved on, there's layers. And I was able to tell her that when I connected with what I needed, when in those moments in my business, when I would work really hard and I would sit for long hours and my butt would hurt, it was like another way of beating myself up. It was a way of keeping myself in the same patterns of punishing myself for what I felt I didn't deserve or where I hadn't reached those points of success yet. And so I was just going to keep sitting and keep pushing myself. And that realization allowed me to stop doing that and look at what other possibilities there are when I can bring that compassion to myself and for that young piece of myself that was still repeating that. And that story that I told her helped her connect in herself. And the next session after that, as it unfolded, she was willing to go to the next step and she wasn't as scared. And she looked to me and we had this closeness even more because I dared to tell her about what I had, what I'd been through. So I don't know if that is like a nice little wrap up story about that, but it just, it keeps coming out in layers in client sessions. And yeah, I don't have the script down and I'm wanting to schedule practices with people because I feel like, Joanna, that I feel like the integration sessions we have here, I would really love to have more practicing one-on-one outside of our group to really kind of move through this with people who are in the program and be able to then come back and talk about how our practice sessions went too.
Yeah. Yeah. To that last point, I love that idea. We would need more than 90 minutes, yeah, but if people were up for it, I certainly would be thrilled to do it. So we can definitely kind of think about that. Maybe when we're in person, we can all talk about it together and
yeah,
the best ways. And then just in terms of everything you're sharing, Stacey, again, like I love hearing how each of you are integrating and showing up with your clients. You're already incredible practitioners to begin with, but I can just see like the deepening and how empowering it is for your client, but also for you, which is like, you know, like we get to benefit from holding this space from our clients and we get to grow too. So I just like, I really want to acknowledge that. Also, and one of the pieces that I want to pull on from what you shared is, you said, this is what happened in the first session. And then I forget your exact words, but then because of that, she was willing in our next session to go deeper. And that's another important piece. Like with some clients, they're just going to be ready and willing to like all the way right then and there, right? Some of it might be about the container and the relationship with them, but some of it just might be about who they are, right? And their readiness and willingness. And then with other clients, it's going to be about taking a step and letting it integrate, and then taking another step and letting it integrate, right? And going deeper and deeper. One, and I just want to remind everybody, one is not better than the other. Sometimes the slower pace actually yields the more longer lasting results, because the time was taken to embody it versus like going straight for the fireworks breakthrough, but then not really having the internal space for the embodiment of that big leap. Does that make sense? Awesome. Anyone else want to share on what you've been seeing or noticing, what your experience has been, or any questions?
I would just like to share on something you said. Oh, was someone else going to come in? Oh, go ahead, Cindy.
Tracy, you go ahead, and then Cindy.
Okay. It was just quick when you talked about the longer it takes sometimes. I want to bring it back to me for a moment to share with you that I held a lot of grief energetically in my cells, which created a lot of inflammation, which created a weight gain that was beyond anything I imagined. Just want to say this isn't about anybody's body, but I noticed I went from wearing one size to like going up three sizes in a very short time. And when I made the decision to come back to the remembrance of myself before the grief started, it has been a very slow, long journey. That February 9th will be my 10th month. When I decided to come back into the remembrance of me, and I purposely say all the time, I'm so glad that it is slow, so that it is long lasting. And I've been able to release 46 pounds of stuff out of my body. And so I am grateful, because there have been times when I've been wanting it fast. I want it now. You know what I mean? And something inside of me, it was almost like the divine was saying, go slow, so that it has long lasting longevity. Because I felt like the faster I go, the faster it won't last. So thank you just for that that reminder, Joanna.
Yeah. It's such a great story to illustrate it too. I know. And there is like, we want it fast. Sometimes we can have it fast too, every now and again, but most of the time it is like that slower pace, and the space for the embodiment is really what yields the long lasting change. Cindy.
Well, thank you, Tracy and Stacy. Both of those are, I constantly have clients that want to lose weight fast, and that's a great way to help them just slow down and see that. And Stacy, you just put a piece of the puzzle together for me of why I keep going and not taking a rest. That just that totally linked. Thank you. I have a client who wants to break up with her boyfriend. And so I thought I wasn't using the process because I didn't sit down and use the process with the piece with the sheet, but I am using the first part. So my question around it is, so I've got her talking about the memory of she broke up with him once and now it's the second time, and she's 20, so she's young. And so I've been really working on building her self-esteem and self-confidence. And I did the bridge process with her and that helped, but she just can't seem to get to the place of breaking up with him. And so I'm wondering if I need to then go back with her to the, get her to the real, to the fantastical. Like she's told me the memory of, it was when she broke up with him last time, he just kept calling and she couldn't say no. This time she feels stronger, but she's afraid of the past. And she's afraid of him because he has hit her.
Okay, I'm glad you're sharing that detail. So this is so good that you're sharing and we're able to talk about it here. So because there is abuse involved, I don't know her story, so I'm just like, this isn't for sure, but because there is some physical abuse involved, the fear of breaking up with him may not only be based in the then and there, it may be based in a very real and legitimate fear in the here and now that he is going to hit her again. I don't know because, right, but right. And then, so that's one piece that you want to think about. The other piece, I know for me personally, unless someone has worked through any physical or sexual abuse with a therapist or someone who is, it's in their scope, it is not in my scope, because really the process, the choose your own process here, you'd want to go, I wouldn't suggest you do it because it's not in our scope, mm-hmm. to go back to a memory where she's scared, right, of being hurt and find the different impulse, but she may not be there. That is not in our scope. If there is fear of abuse, one of the ways that you can support her, it sounds like you're supporting her beautifully in many ways, but then one additional way is to create awareness that working with an expert on this could be really valuable in helping her get out of the relationship. And then, you know, she is, are you still a minor at age 20? Is it 18 or 21? I can't remember.
In Canada, she's an adult.
She's an adult. You know, I don't know if there's also, I guess, parental pieces at that point, not right. But if it were somebody younger, there would also be then consideration around connecting with parents around it too. Is that, tell me what you're hearing in this that feels important to you.
It all feels important. I am in connection with her mother. Her mother's telling me more about the abuse than the client. The client is refusing to go see a therapist because she likes coming to see me. And then I get her on the table and we do the energy work. I could suggest to the mom, like, there needs to be two people helping here at this. The mother is afraid for her life. And so I get these weekly text. So the client is now coming weekly rather than monthly, which is good for that help. And you're also right too, that she was sexually abused at 16 and then bullied in public school. So we've got the energetics of her body are.
Yeah. You are a masterful practitioner, goes without saying, and also it is a lot for you to take on your own, mm-hmm. especially because there are pieces that are out of your scope. Mm-hmm. You can't make anybody get more support if they're not willing, but part of your job as a coach is to create awareness that other support could be really valuable.
Yeah, it's ethical for me to have a conversation with her mom and say, I can't do this alone. And because right. I did send her once to a psychotherapist and then she came back. But there's more than one person who could help along that line. So I am seeing the mom at the end of the week. So I will have that conversation with her. Thank you. Because it was becoming heavy that, we don't want her to be harmed.
Yeah. Yes. Good. Mm-hmm. Anything that anyone else wants to say on this? This is, it's important Hopefully it doesn't come up very often in our work, right? Because like what we market will inform what people come to us for, but every now and again, it does come up and it's important just understand what's in our scope and then how to help people when it's not in our scope. Anything else that wants to be said on this?
I love the reminder because it's interesting the language that people speak. People will they'll want an intuitive clarity call with me and they'll be like, I love the fact that you're a therapist. And I'm like, okay, hold up, time out. I am not a therapist. I don't play one on TV. Let's you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I have a client who's a therapist and I know therapists and I believe that you can have both or, you know, or one, but I don't, you know, like the integrity, like really holding space for my own integrity is so important to me because I think sometimes people just get it kind of twisted, like therapy and coaching. They think it's all the same. So I think it's up to us or it's up to me. I'll speak for myself to really be in integrity with my work and with myself and to communicate that the minute that something comes up, or if I feel like what they are going through, their life experiences are way out of my scope. As much as they say, like, I really would love to work with you. And I'm like, I am holding so much space for your healing. And I would encourage you to search out someone in your area or, you know, just because I'm not here to play with people's lives like that, you know? So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Good. Anything else that wants to be said on this piece? And sometimes it's, we can work together, but this is what's in the scope. And then this is what I recommend getting support for out of the scope. And other times it's, we can work together, but not yet. In order for us to work together first, right? Like know where the client needs to be in order for you to start working together. All right. Anything else on this or anything else that anyone wants to bring forward? And by the way, Carlita, I think you're listening. I saw your camera go on there for a second. I saw like the glasses at the dentist's office with you in the chair. So cute. Anyone else have anything to share? If not, we'll do something related, but a little different. Okay.
I just had one comment. Tracy, if you don't mind me asking, when you're communicating this integrity with the work and the space that you hold, as an example, because I get this too, people confusing me with a therapist, and I've been working on my messaging around how I'm different. What would you say? Well, I'm kind of, maybe I'm answering my own question here. Sorry, I've got my answer.
Stacey coached herself through that.
It's beautiful that you
continue
you
on
through that. Yeah.
I love it. All right. I need a second. The document I need is in my email and I closed my email before the class. So let me just get to it. Give me one sec. Okay. So we have a little bit of time. And I thought it would be valuable for us. So when I shared with you the choose your own journey process, if you remember, I shared at the beginning, it was inspired by a lot of work that I've done in a body of work called Eidetic Imagery that was developed by someone named Ahmed Akhtar. And Dr. Akhtar has his main body of work is that he's actually created prescribed images versus the kind of choose your own that we went to as opportunities to create new memories, to, you know, and you know, do a lot of the things that we spoke about in the last retreat. And so I thought it would be valuable for me to take us all through one of his images and to just see what wants to come from it. Sound good? Okay, great. So whether you are able to visualize, if you're able to visualize in your mind, great. But if you have, you know, we're talking about aphantasia, you just sense into each of the things. And I'm gonna, so this is an image that he calls Perfect Parents Image. It's from a book called, I don't have the name of the book, but the chapter is Seven Layers of the Father Image. And it's just a couple of lines. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, just give you some instructions before we go in, is if it's comfortable for you, close your eyes. If not, go inward. And I'm going to invite you to absorb each of the lines that I share as if it were a meditation. So if you can see the images, see them in as much detail and with as much absorption as you can. And then very similar to the technique that we learned, the invitation is not to think or make any, oh, you know, don't create any connections or use your analytic mind. The invitation is to see, if you can see, and then feel. Notice how it feels in the body, and see, and then feel. Any questions before we go into it? No? Okay. So if it's okay to close your eyes and absorb. Try to see the image of perfect parents in your mind. They're somewhat different from your personal parents as you remember them in real life. Imagine the perfect parents along the following line. See a perfect blue sky in your mind. And then see a mild glow of the golden sunlight reflecting in this blue sky. See it and then feel it. See a perfect blue sky in your mind. And then see a mild glow of the golden sunlight reflecting in this blue sky. What do you see? How does it feel? Now, concentrate on this blue sky and see a youthful couple standing against this background. See a youthful couple standing against this background. Feel that in your body. They have tall, sensuous bodies. They have tall, sensuous bodies. See it and feel it. You can sense a feeling of flowers around them. You can sense a feeling of flowers around them. Absorb the image. This couple appears active, relaxed, and very loving towards you. This couple appears active, relaxed, and very loving towards you. Feel what that feels like in your body. Their attention is centered on you, but you feel free at the same time. Their attention is centered on you, but you feel free at the same time. Feel that in your body. When attention is needed, you immediately receive it without asking for it. When attention is needed, you immediately receive it without asking for it. Feel that in your body. These parents do not go away from you for any prolonged period of time. They go back and forth to bring to you what you need. See it and feel it. They go back and forth to bring to you what you need. You do not even have to ask for those things. When they bring something, you are happily surprised. When they bring something, you are happily surprised. Feel that in your body. Notice what that feels like. And take one more moment noticing how this feels inside of you. And when you're ready, if your eyes aren't open, you can open them. And so I'd love to hear some shares. What did you see? How did you feel? What did you notice about that experience? Tracy.
I imagine, envisioned the blue sky and the golden sun, the setting, and that was like immediately. And then as soon as you brought the couple in, I had no visual it kept reminding me of that I never remember seeing my parents together. You know, it was like I was with one. My mother was a single mother, but I was with my father for the fun, like once a week things. Mm-hmm. And I kept, you know, it was like I kept trying and trying to visualize it and see it so that I can then feel it. And I'm like, so it was like my mind was like going back and forth. And then my heart settled into just visualizing me and my husband with our son. Mm. And how that made me feel, and not judging that I couldn't sense or see or feel this couple, because I didn't have that as an example, you know, like yes. I couldn't pull it up. So
I'm so glad you created that adjustment. And are you up for doing a little
experiment
with that?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Is it okay to close your eyes?
Yes.
Okay. Bring yourself to that scene of you and your husband with your son. How old is your son in the scene?
5.
5. Okay. So what I want to invite you to do, Tracy. Oh, and tell me, what are you and your husband doing in the scene?
We're at a playground, watching him play. Like it's just so much joy, just you know, seeing him navigate the playground.
Yes, beautiful. Okay, so here's what I want to invite you to do. I want to invite you to pop out of your body and into your son's 5-year-old body on that playground and look through his eyes and be in his body as you play on this playground and notice your parents together looking at you with all that love and attention. What does it feel like in your 5-year-old body to see your parents seeing you?
It's like these two pictures keep moving back and forth. It's like I'm in my son's body, but the picture of my parents, it's hard to visualize that. Like it's like it's there.
No. See Tracy and her husband through the 5-year-old eyes. Sorry if I wasn't clear. Okay. So be in your son's 5-year-old body and see his parents, Tracy and his dad. What does he see through his eyes as he sees his parents?
He sees us smiling. And he's smiling back as he's just figuring out how to navigate with the other kids. And I feel like he feels a sense of safety that we're there watching over him, and we're smiling and we're giving him space.
Yes. And, so be in his body as he sees this and feels this sense of safety. In the 5-year-old body, where in you, the 5-year-old body, do you feel this sense of safety?
In my stomach.
Yes. Let yourself have that feeling of safety in your stomach and in your 5-year-old stomach, this knowing that you are being watched by attentive parents together. Continue to look through the 5-year-old eyes, your son's 5-year-old eyes. What else does he see as he looks at his mom, Tracy, and his dad?
He sees us holding hands. I think he feels the love from us and how much joy we're getting watching him.
Yes, where in his 5-year-old body does he feel that? The love and the joy.
In his heart?
Yeah. Feel that, Tracy. Allow your heart to have that feeling of being loved. And the joy, knowing the joys that others get from loving you. Take one more moment with all of that. And then pop out of his body and back to your body on this playground scene and see him feeling all of this safety and love and joy. How does it feel in your mama body as you see this?
Grateful.
Where in your body are you feeling that?
I feel it through like the back side of my heart chakra. Like I feel like there's like a cool wind on my back.
Yeah. Let yourself have that gratitude. And the safety and the love and the joy. And take one more moment, and when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Thank you.
Thank you. How are you feeling?
I feel good. You know, in the beginning, I was feeling like this, almost like this sadness because this little girl didn't really get to see her parents in that light. But then towards the end, I was feeling so much compassion for my parents because they did the best they could with what they knew. And they loved me regardless of them not being together. And like, I was the focal point. And yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for this.
Mm-hmm. You're so welcome. I'm going to get to Stacey and Cynthia in a moment, but anybody want to just share anything on the work that Tracy and I just did, what you noticed, or just anything that you want to point out or ask? Okay, Stacey.
So thank you, Tracy. What I noticed doing that exercise was at the point where, I mean, I could see the sky and that felt warm and wonderful. But as soon as you said certain things about the parents, I noticed slight little objections coming up. Like, oh, my perfect parents wouldn't be tall. You know, and then just like, okay, let it go. My perfect parents. Okay. And then the part where I felt the most charged was when you said two things. They're not gone for any prolonged period of time. That was hard. And then the other one was they give you the attention without asking. And then immediately what came in was my own impression of my childhood. And just the, like, it felt validating. And it's, you know, that it's kind of openness. Like, these are my soul parents. These are my perfect parents. And then I was seeing flashes of my own kids. And I was making connections like, oh, that's why I'm having a hard time. When I'm gone from them a long period of time, I feel guilty. I feel like I'm not giving them the attention they need, but maybe that overgiving and that over attention on them is not serving myself and not serving them. And yeah, that overcompensating. So yeah, and so interesting.
Yeah, I love. So it's because we're all so like smart and analytical. It's like, yeah, you're making those connections in the image, which I think is also great because now you have so much awareness and things to unpack. And it feels to me, based on what you're sharing, there's something, tell me if you agree with this, there's something for you in coming back to this idea and the image of your little self knowing that you're getting the just the right amount of attention that you need. Because my sense is, in the knowing of that, then there isn't going to be a push to overgive or over attention with your own kids. If you're coming from an energy of, I know that I am almost giving myself the attention that I need. I'm getting enough attention, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. And I'm really relating this, so funny, relating it to marketing again. That willingness to, like, because I'm doing a lot of inner work around marketing and clearing those, the visibility pieces, and being able to show up as myself and tell my stories. So getting attention has been a negative thing. Because of the patterns of not feeling like when I asked for attention, I didn't ever have a model for me that was healthy, that was like a necessary part of being a child, is for parents to provide that for their children. And it's okay to be in the spotlight, and it's okay to put your wants out in the world. Yes. And expect that you'll receive in that return
too. Yeah. So this might be I'll share this with everybody if you want to go back or even listen to the recording, because you can't read it to yourself and be in the image, but to listen to me reading it in the recording and just coming back to it, you know, with those purposes in mind. I mean, keep open for whatever wants to happen, but see if you can find regulation and a knowing in your body of like this. Yes, I get to have attention on me. I get to have my needs met. Yes. Good.
Thank you.
Cynthia.
A similar piece kind of really got me with Stacy, what she was saying. So it was the parents. I did have some reactions to them being, you didn't say sensual, but something.
Sensuous, tolerant.
Yeah. Sensitive. And I was like, and that's when my mind kind of was like, that's not what I know. But that was a thing. But I found myself having to toggle between, like, right around there, my mind being like, but then I would bring myself back. But for me, there was the gaze of the parents without expecting anything, or something like that. And I just started weeping. And I realized how, I feel like there was never such a gaze. Like, I was always expected to look right and stand up straight and do it right and all those things. So there was the weeping, and then it just intensified around them always being present. It just kept like getting more, and then the needs, and then I kind of got this like, I can't have needs, like they're not allowed here. So there was a very tender experience.
Yeah, I could feel that as I was watching you, and it feels like what you're seeing, like there's something really important here for finding. I think you started to, you know, a little bit in this experience, but going deeper to find this feeling inside of yourself of I get to have my needs and be seen in my needs and loved in my needs. And coming back to that embodied feeling.
Yeah, just you saying that is very evoking. Like there's a yearning for it to be true, and then a belief that, like almost a despair, that no, that's not possible, you know, like not me, you know.
Yeah. So that's such good information to work with, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's two pieces in there. There's the despair piece, right? So it might be some grieving over what couldn't be, right? And some real grieving over what wasn't received in such a loving, self-loving way as you grieve. Mm-hmm. And then the next piece is, well, it can't be, right? So while it is true in history that it wasn't for you as a little girl, and while it's also true that not everybody is going to give you what you need or like your needs or anything like that, even as an adult, tell me if I'm getting this right. I'm guessing, but I think it's a good guess. What is true is, as an adult, there are people who deeply care about your needs, mm-hmm. and want to give attention to them. And so the work is being even more deeply with that truth and that knowing.
Yeah. Well, that despair comes up. Like I could feel that it's true for like a second. And then this well of, no, that's really not true. And, you know, it's just like a reflex. Yeah.
I think you know you've got your next pieces of work.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So from practitioner point of view, obviously we did this as a group. But what is it kind of, what ideas does it activate for you in terms of your one-on-one work? And there's like a different way of using an image than how we learned, right? How we learn to use the image is it's coming, like the image is fully kind of created and led by the client to create a new embodiment. This is kind of like an image. This was prescribed, but we can also create images for our clients to help them embody some new places that they're ready to embody or explore those. So what are you seeing as possibilities or excitement or curiosity about just about all this practitioner point of view?
I felt like it was inner child work. It reminded me, it was almost like it was like a inner child shadow work, you know? Because in the imagining and the visualization, it was about centering on self and really being present with myself in a way that, you know, my energy's not like all out there, like my body's here, but my energy's all out there. It was like, no, bringing all of it in. So yeah, that's what it reminded me.
Yeah. And creating space for in the inner child to receive something that maybe it hadn't previously received or absorbed. Who else? What are you seeing as possibility or curious about? What?
I see the possibility with a client who's angry at her dad, who's 82, about he puts more emphasis on her other siblings than herself. And she's just really stuck in anger. And she said to me, I'm not ready to do forgiveness work. And this could be a nice segue, because she is a spiritual person. She does energy healing, to find these soul parents to connect to versus.
I wouldn't, yes, but remember impulses are important. I wouldn't bypass the anger. Okay. Like this is, it's gonna be hard to connect to this if you bypass the anger, if you don't follow some of the anger impulses in the work.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, I'll do that.
Awesome, good. I like to sometimes create custom images with a client as we're working together. You always coach the what based on the who. But as an example, for one client, we created this image of her going into her baby body and nursing from a mother who has plenty of milk to give, who is embracing her baby body fully, and like that feeling of taking the milk into the baby body, it being given with so much love, and feeling in the baby body nourished by this sustenance and by this love, and just like slowing just that image down. Nothing else happens in the image, but giving the client opportunity to just feel in their baby body self all of that in the full body, to look through the baby's eyes and see the loving mother, and to take that in. Stacey.
You ever have situations with a client where they're having real difficulty accepting the image you've created, where they, you know, it's just too hard?
Well, yeah. So a couple things on that. So great question. So first, we're always coaching the what based on the who. So it's not, I'm not ever just like making it up out of nowhere. We're in conversation. We're talking about this, that, or the other thing. And I say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Are you up for going? You know, what do you think? And the client, we're co-creating together. The client might be like, it can't be my mother, because I could never imagine my mother doing that, but I can imagine the great mother, right? Or what, or can it be my grandmother, right? So we're kind of like tweaking it together, and then going and seeing. And if we tweak it together beforehand, it really kind of mitigates the, I can't go there. But if that then comes up, then we just retweak it together and go back into the image. So it's very much like a co-creation. Good question. Cynthia.
Yeah. And, you know, like for me, it feels almost impossible to imagine a mother who would welcome my needs with love. So I was thinking, well, like, what would a precursor step? Like maybe imagine a mother who's capable of that, or, you know what I mean? Like it just feels too confronting. Does that make sense? Like
Yeah. So absolutely. So again, always coach the what based on the who, and there's a couple of choices there. So I love this idea of the precursor, right? Or like baby steps. Sometimes people can connect into a universal mother, or to God or goddess or great mother, or right, like something like that. Or if the client has children, we can do what Tracy and I did, which is put you into your child, seeing you being that parent, and then you feeling the feeling of being that parent. And all of those things will yield a very similar place. It's just a different pathway to get there. which is whatever, but again, whatever the image that you're creating or co-creating with your client, it's not like we're just doing this randomly. I shared this random image with all of us just as a jumping off point, right? But it's like, we're in a coaching session with a client and we're like, oh, they don't have access to a certain energy. Remember back to our retreat, right? It got a certain kind of feeling or energy or impulse got buried under history. So one way is we can use the memory and history like we learned at the retreat. But another way is to be like, okay, well, let's create that feeling with the client for them to lean into it through an image that we co-create together. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much.
Okay, good. Good. All right, I know we're at time. So play with this. With your clients, play with it with yourself. You know, you can, I'll give you all a homework assignment of like, what is an energy that, or feeling that you would like to more deeply embody and know inside of yourself and create an image, not like a whole story, but like one image for you to be, to feel, right? Not to see, but for you to feel that feeling in your body through the image and play with that and see how it goes. Cynthia.
I have a question about the retreat. It doesn't have to be on the right now in case.
Well, so I'll just say if everybody has to go. I can't wait till we connect next. I'll turn the recording off. But before you go, just note for yourself, what's one thing you're taking away from our time together today? And I'm sending you all lots of love. I'm around if you need anything.